Well, it's been a while since I've spoken. And as I was waiting on the Lord, what he would want me to share, the Lord brought a portion of scripture that sort of just sort of leaped off the page to me, a very common portion of scripture that as we read it this morning, most of you will say, oh yeah, I recognize that portion of scripture. It's from John chapter 15. Verses 4 to 5, it simply says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, I've known that verse for years and years and years, and I've quoted it and mentioned it, but I never really just sat down and meditated on it and tried to just say, what does that really mean? I mean, Jesus was saying something very important here. That's respecting our fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. And how we can do things that count. Without me, you can do nothing. And the key was abiding in the vine. If we abide in the vine, all these good things happen. If you don't abide in the vine, man, there's a lot of negative things that happen. And so this really spoke to me. And the title of the message is the moment-to-moment connection. What does it mean to abide in the vine? There's a moment-by-moment connection with the Lord that allows us to abide. We use the word abide, and I don't know, I'm talking about myself. Sometimes it's just sort of, yeah, we abide in the vine. We need the Lord in our lives, and we can do nothing without him. And yet we don't really, I think, see the seriousness of it. And this really gripped my heart, this week as I was preparing this message and realizing, wow, this is really a significant portion of Scripture. And this is something we really need to lay hold of and see the implications of it in our life. So let's launch into it. So there was three key points that came out of this portion of Scripture as I meditated upon it. And here's the first one. The ultimate judgment of your life will be your fruitfulness. The ultimate judgment, when your life is judged by its value and significance, it will be judged by how fruitful you were. And this portion of Scripture says the only way you're going to bear fruit is if you abide in the vine. You see, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it says, and we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the flesh. And they're going to be judged. And it says they'll be judged by fire. And if it's like gold, silver, and precious stones, it will last and will receive a reward. Other things of our life will be like hay, wood, and stubble, and it will be burned to nothing. So this judgment isn't a judgment to salvation of what your final destination will be, because that is secure in the Lord. As a Christian, we're not fearful of a judgment where we might be condemned to hell, because that's already been taken care of. This is a judgment that Christians will stand before the Lord and give an account of what they have done as Christians with the gifts God has given them. Well, Jesus gave parables about this, that to this servant he gave so many mitas, you gave you five, and they come back later in the parable, Jesus says, when that landowner comes back, and every servant will give an account of what they've done with the things that were given to them. And one will say, I have five, and here's another five, and here you gave me two, here's another two, and gives them the parable. There's someone that had a talent, but he didn't use it. And he was severely reprimanded. And so I don't know whether we live with that consciousness enough, that we're going to stand before the Lord as Christians. And it's not our sins. We know our sins have been covered. But what have we done with the talents and gifts and abilities God has given us? Have we applied it towards the Lord that would cause fruit to come to his benefit? A beneficial benefit to, two words, beneficial benefit. But that's what I mean. It's something that's valuable to the Lord. And he's going to say, well done. And there is a consequence to that judgment. And I won't go into all that right now, but it's not my purpose. But I think we need to realize we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. So Jesus is saying in this portion of Scripture, if you want to have good fruit, then you need to abide in the vine, because if you abide in the vine, you will have much fruit. So whether your life has eternal significance or not will be determined by how much you've abided in the vine to produce the fruit that it says here, you can't produce it without me. You can try to manufacture fruit, but it really needs to grow from our life. We could manufacture plastic fruit that is hollow and empty and has no life within it. Maybe look good from a distance, but of no value. So self yourself, you can do nothing. And so that's the second. Well, let me say, I made this definition, put it in your notes. Fruitfulness is a result of using your full potential to produce the greatest spiritual benefit for God. That's what fruitfulness is. Using your full potential, everything you have, all your abilities, all your talents, all your time, all your efforts, using to the fullest to bring the greatest benefit to God, then your life is fruitful. Wow. I don't think I live with that consciousness, folks. And I'm a pastor, and I'm doing things for God, but I'm not sure I'm aware of the importance of it, that I need to abide in that thinking. I need to abide in the vine, that I realize everything I have, all my time, all my effort, am I using it to the fullest potential for God? Or am I wasting it, squandering it, letting it go in other directions that's not having any benefit? That's like the wood, hay, and stubble. But am I using it for something that has eternal significance? Well, like I say, when I read that scripture, and I began to see that, and I thought, wow, that's there in that scripture, isn't it? And I've quoted that verse and thought about that verse, but never really saw the personal application to my life. And I'm praying today as we look at this scripture, that everyone is inspecting their life to say, okay, the truth of those verses, how does it apply to me? How am I lining up with it? So the first one is, that's how we're going to be judged in the end, how fruitful you were. How much of your time and effort, talents, and abilities did you use for God's benefit? The second one, you cannot produce fruit on your own. We already talked about this a little bit. You can't produce it on your own. It's not self-effort. Not just determine, okay, I'm going to try to do good things for the Lord. I'm going to work a little bit this, I'm going to work at that, and yeah, I'm going to put some time and effort towards doing something good for the Lord. But you're not really sensing of his direction and abilities. It's sort of self-generated, self-initiated. You know, we think that there's nothing wrong with that. And to a certain extent, there isn't as far as good intention. But he's saying, unless you're connected to the vine, you might try to produce fruit that you think is beneficial to God, but you decided to do it. It was at your initiative. I'm going to produce some fruit. And the Lord is basically saying, when I look at it, it's empty and it's hollow and it's plastic. No, this needs to come from a life source of life. That there's life in this fruit. Wow. Not just something I tried to do because they should. And so, as I say, this really got my attention and began to draw me into this. So I said, okay, so really fruitfulness is the real thing. This is the real value, and that's what I'm going to be judged on. Secondly, I can't produce this myself. God doesn't intend us to just go do good stuff, do good works. No, there's another element here being connected to the vine. And the third one is this. The way to fruitfulness is for us to stay connected to this new source of life. You have to stay connected. It's not an in and out, moment to hit and miss. Some days I'm focused, other days I'm not. Some hours of the day I'm focused, but other hours of the day I'm not focused. No, this is an abiding. This is a moment by moment connection. And that's the next statement in your notes. To abide in the vine is a moment to moment connection. And this is the heart of my whole message, right, in this statement. To abide in the vine is a moment to moment connection to God's presence, power, and purpose. Constant, moment by moment, never getting away from it, not in and out of that thinking. Every moment of the day, every second, I'm sensing His presence. The Lord's with me. I'm sensing His power. I'm not doing this in my own ability. I can do nothing by myself. I need this life source within me. I'm relying on God. And it's according to His purpose. We all have a different life. The purpose for my life is different than the purpose for your life. But God knows you. He gave you talents and He gave you abilities. And He knows exactly who you are. Some got five, some got two, and some got one. And, you know, we're different. No one's better than another, but we're different, the Bible says. And so I need to live with this consciousness every moment. My life's not my own. He's given me a new life. I now need to abide in this new life to realize He's always with me. He's never apart from me. I sense His presence. I want to live in the empowerment of His life. And I want His purpose for me to be accomplished. You see, Peter comes here and he has a brother and a sister, and God's purpose for their life is to remain in Mexico and to work in the church there. Peter was working in the church there. But for whatever beyond our knowledge, God has a purpose to bring him to Canada. Now, he could say, oh, I'm doing a good work in Mexico. I don't need to come. Or you can sense His presence and say, Lord, where are you directing me? And am I willing to really disrupt his home, his family? And that's not an easy thing. I don't underestimate the change and the transition they're going through, cultural change. And yet, Peter and Jesse are convinced this is God's purpose for our life. And as such, they're remaining in the vine. If they said, well, I know that's sort of God's purpose, but, you know, I'd like to stay here. Nothing wrong with staying there as far as they do good work there. But it would not be worth anything if it wasn't connected to the vine and God's flow of His life. Do you follow what I'm saying here? And it's the same for all of us. God knows you. He knows your abilities. He knows your talents. We're all different. We're not all called to full-time ministry as far as being in the church. We're all called to be, though, moment to moment connected with God's presence, His power, and His purpose for your life. There's not one moment that gets out of your heart and out of your mind. You're living every moment realizing, my life counts for the Lord. And really, in the end, this is how I'm going to be judged. How much did I act on that? And how much did I squander and misuse what God has given me? And it doesn't have to be evil things. It's just not the things He wants you to do, because He knows you'll bear much fruit if you abide in the vine. Okay, Let's move on here. So the metaphor in this thing is simple. The sap is God's Spirit. It flows through the vine, and it says Jesus has the Spirit of God without measure. All of God's Spirit was in Christ Jesus. He was the Son of God. But it flows through Jesus, and then there's branches goes off. And it says, we have the Spirit with measure. God has given a little bit of His Spirit to all of us. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit because He's the vine. And now it flows out to us. And so we are responsible for the flow of life into us. And every branch is different, shaped differently, and so forth. And so we're not trying to be like anyone else. You just have to realize I'm a branch in God's overall kingdom here. Another metaphor, if I could use, is a power tool that plugs into the wall. Say a saw, electric saw. So you plug it in, and man, it's got power, and it works and can accomplish things. But if you pull it out, you might try to do something, but it doesn't work. And sometimes, as Christians, we're sort of in and out Christians. We plug into the Lord, we pray, seek His face, He's telling us this, then we have a chain and we pull it out and we go about something else and we're using the abilities and it has really no benefit to the kingdom of God, maybe benefiting me in some way. But I plug it, oh yeah, Lord, do you want me to do this? And in and out, in and out, in and out. And we know that no work is going to be accomplished with this in and out. You have to abide. You have to stay plugged in to God's Spirit. So I'm thinking about all these things, even as it relates to myself. Now, let me say, God holds us. This abiding in the vine isn't, I'm trying to get in and I got to keep staying there. God's Spirit draws us. He holds us. The maintenance of our life in the Lord is a work of the Holy Spirit within us. You can't try to do this on your own. Even trying to stay plugged in is not your own efforts alone. The Holy Spirit is prompting us. He's done a work in us. So I want to say that first, because it's not self-effort, but it's a recognition that God's holding me. And the way I put it in the notes is this: God holds your spirit, but your mind can wander. I mean, our salvation is secure in the Lord. He holds us, and no one can pluck us out of His hand. The believer, as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation is secure. It's not dependent on works. So I can be in the vine, held by Christ, but you know what? My mind can wander. I can be distracted. I can be in the vine, but I'm thinking of that, and I'm over here, and I'm not keeping my mind on the Lord. I'm being drawn away by so many different things. And what does it do? It hinders your fruitfulness. You're not as effective as you could be. You're not reaching your full potential. There's something missing in the kingdom of God because you're not taking your place and your part. And so our minds can wander. Well, the scripture tells us the remedy to that in Romans chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, you set your mind on the things of the flesh, but if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, then that's better. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You'll never feel more life. You'll never feel more peaceful. You'll never feel relaxed and a sense of well-being is when you keep your mind on the things of the Lord. There's so many things that's trying to pull me away, but if I can set my mind, determine, keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, and I, moment by moment, not just in and out, in and out, in and out, but moment by moment, I'm abiding in the vine, I'm thinking about the Lord. If I can do that, well, I'm going to have life and peace. You'll never feel more satisfaction than when you do that. So it's not like I've got to sacrifice all this to do God's work. No, that's what you were designed for. You'll never feel better than when you are using all your talents and the gifts according to God's purpose for your life. Man, there's nothing like that. Really, there is nothing like that. You can try to get a job, and if I got that, I'll be happy. If I do it, the world's trying so many times ways to use their talents and abilities for themselves, and they don't feel satisfied. For us, we have a life source. We just have to keep abiding in it. And now he begins to direct us and prompt us. His presence, his power, his purpose begins to be fulfilled through your life. And you begin to feel this peace that comes over you. So it's sort of like God's gripped me, but I'm also to grip him. So let's look at that in Philippians 3 and verse 12. If you haven't seen this, this is a powerful principle. Not that I've already attained, Paul's writing, or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Paul is pressing on to something. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Now here is this interesting paradox almost. The Lord is holding you. But Paul says, I'm pressing, desiring to lay hold of the thing that has laid hold of me. Have you ever had the Lord grip your heart? Wow. When you just feel like he just grips your heart. I tell you, that usually happens first in salvation. Suddenly you feel gripped by the conviction of the Lord and you realize I need the Lord and I need to give my life to God and I need his forgiveness. He grips your heart. But you've got to then reach out and lay hold of the thing that's gripped you. And that's why the Bible says if you'll seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. And yet are we finding him or has he found us? Well, he's found us. He's gripped us. No man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So he's gripping me, but I then in turn have to lay hold of the thing he's gripping me. Now that happens in salvation, and it happens everywhere along your life. God wants to guide and direct you. You are connected to a life source. There's a flow of power into your life that's going to produce something from your life that you could never produce on your own or even imagine. But I got to keep connected to the vine. I got to keep pressing into God. It's almost like I have to do it, and yet I'm doing it because God's already working in me to do it. And that's exactly what Colossians 1:29 says. Paul writes this. To this end I also labor. He's working. He's laboring. To this end I also labor, striving. There's an effort being put forth here. Striving according to what? His working, which works in me mightily. So God is working in me. This life source is prompting me and giving me passion for different things. But I can't just a little tug. Okay, pull it away. Now I get involved in something else. And I forget the thing that he was drawing me towards. Plug back. Oh, yeah, God wants me to do that. And then you pull it out and you go your own direction. I got to abide in the vine. A moment by moment abiding in the vine. I'm striving. I'm putting an effort forward. That I keep my thoughts. I'm bringing every thought into captivity. I'm not allowing myself to be drawn away and distracted by different things. I'm keeping my mind focused. I've set my mind. I've set my heart. Every morning I get up, our first prayer should be, Lord, let me abide in you today. I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to miss out on what you want to do in my life. I can easily get involved in other things and use my talents. It may not be a bad thing, but it's not what you want me to do. And I'm just wasting it. I want to bear much fruit. I want to abide in you. I want you to use me. reminds me as I'm saying this, some of you will remember Maurice Hart. He's an older gentleman. He passed away, but he came and spoke at the church many times. Just a powerful individual. I'll tell you story after story, being with Maurice Hart. When he'd come to speak, he'd live in our house with us for the week he was here. And I'd hear him in the morning when he got up. He'd be praying. I could hear him through the door. God, make me a blessing to somebody today. Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today. He was connecting to the vine. He's saying, this is the day the Lord's given me. Make me a blessing to someone today, God. Now, I won't tell you the whole story, but there was one day I had to buy some flowers. I went to a flower shop. He engaged the owner of the flower shop in conversation. She got so excited. We invited her to the church. She came to church, and 2 weeks later, I baptized her. God, make me a blessing to somebody today. There was some fruit that came because he was connecting to the vine and asking God to lead him. You know, this is what we're talking about here, something that's not just effort, and yet I've got to put an effort forward to keep maintaining that connection, that the thing that's gripping my heart, I'm reaching out to grip it. Here's the next point. The competing life sources, in other words, there's a flow of Christ's life up through, but there's competing life sources that try to sidetrack us from his life source. So the competing life sources are our fleshly desires and the influence of the world around us. Now here's the verses. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh, this is our normal fleshly carnal desires. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. The flesh is pretty lazy. The flesh is pretty self-indulgent. The flesh is focused on itself. So it's not thinking about what God wants. It's thinking, what do I want? So this verse says, the flesh desires is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. That's why we got to die to our flesh to do the will of God. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Man, if you live a self-indulgent life, I can't think of anything worse. It sounds good, but it's the worst kind of life to live. Least satisfying. Just living for yourself. Whatever I want to do, I do what I want to do. If it feels good, I do it. Really, that's a terrible way to live. There's no life or peace in that. Life and peace comes when you fix your mind on the things of God and what he wants for your life. So fleshly desires. Here's the next one. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world. What's the world? If I could give you this basic definition. The world is the system that man has developed to meet his needs apart from God. The world is apart from God. We have to meet our needs. And so the world has a system. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're living in a system, economic system, and all kinds of systems we're living in. But we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not to take on the philosophy of the world, the attitudes of the world. And yet, sadly, many times we do. We need to take on what God wants us to do. Now, listen to what Colossians, I didn't put it in your notes, but you can make note of this. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. It says beware, because this can come on you without you being suspecting of it. It can just come out of the blue. You got to be aware. Beware of dog. You better be aware there's a danger here. Beware lest you be cheated. Well, how would you be cheated? Well, I think if I give myself to this and that, that's what I'm going to be beneficial. But you're being cheated. It's not going to bear any fruit in your life. Not going to bring any benefit to anyone else. It's not going to give you peace and joy and happiness. You're being cheated. Beware lest you're cheated by the philosophies of the world, the thinking of the world, how the views of the world, and not according to Christ. Oh man, when I think about this, say, Lord, I don't want to be cheated. I don't want your people to be cheated. I don't want us pretending our time and efforts and abilities on things that are worthless. I want to abide in the vine. I want to feel the grip of your life on my heart. And I want to then respond and lay hold of the gripping and what you're giving me. I'm going to respond to that. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be drawn away by these other things, as bright and flashy as they might be. And regardless of how many people say, yes, that's the way it should be. No, it's not according to Christ. It's not going to be beneficial to you. So, how do we abide? And here's our final points. You need to abide by following the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. The inner leading of the Holy Spirit. He's constantly talking to you. The scripture says, if we live in the Spirit, in other words, if his life has come into us, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's step by step, moment by moment, constantly sensing his presence. I'm walking in the Spirit. It's veering there, I veer with it. I'm walking in the Spirit. If you'll do that, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. So many people think, oh, I just got to stop doing this and stop doing that. And that's the lust of the flesh. I got to say, no, you know what the key is? Walk in the Spirit. Shift your attention. And walk, if you have a sense he's with me. His presence is with me every moment of the day. There's never a moment that he's not with me. There's not a moment he's not directing me. There's all kinds of needs in the world. There's all kinds of prayers going up in the world. And he just wants to be able to direct us. You know what? Call that person. Speak to that person. Buy that person something. Whatever he lays on your heart, then reach out and lay hold of it. That's walking in the Spirit. But you know what? We start off the day walking in the Spirit, and then this draws us. So we get distracted over here going after this thing, and it may not even be a bad thing. It's just that when we're over here, we look and the Spirit's gone over there. And we wonder, why don't I feel the presence of the Lord? Why don't I see his power? Why don't I see a manifestation? Well, we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not abiding in his vine. Oh, Lord, help us. Because we're all prone to this. We all get sidetracked by things. The flesh, a desire of the flesh, the world, worldly activity, worldly amusement. And we don't realize at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you keep your hand in his hand and walk in the Spirit, keep that connection, you'll never be happier, never feel more fulfilled than when you're walking in the Spirit. And it's possible. But this is what spoke to me from these verses. But it's an abiding. It's not time to time, hit and miss, a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, Sunday to Sunday. No, this is a moment to moment connection. I don't think I put this in your note, but this is what I put in my notes. Jesus commands that he be the cause of every act in our life. moment to moment, every act, he wants to be the one that prompts it. So you're taking no initiatives outside of his leading. And you're just waiting in his presence. Now, if we go on to the final points here, which sort of pulls this together. I put it this way, three prongs of connection. You know, if we're talking about plugging into an electrical socket, it's got three prongs. The Bible says there's three things we should abide in that I saw. And so here's the first one. We need to abide in his love. As the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. Listen, if you don't abide in the love, you'll always be searching for something. You'll want to find love in another place. You want to find the fulfillment that he wants to have his love. I'm searching for it. If you're not relaxing in the love of God and knowing he cares for you, he's got a plan for your life, everything is happening according to his purpose. I don't have to understand everything. I'm just resting in his love. Jesus said, talking about his own experience, as the Father loved me, Jesus walked in the love of God. That's why he didn't have to respond, be offended when other people said anything to him. He wasn't looking for other people for affirmation. He had already heard, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. He lived in that love. God loves me. He's got a plan. I'm here on mission. Oh man, this is, it says even Jesus didn't please himself. I mean, it was hard on his flesh. But he was in the purpose of God. And he said he felt the love of God. And then he goes on to say in that verse, I also loved you. Because his love was in me, I was able to love you. Abide in me. See, we have to abide in his love. As we recognize God loves me, now I can love other people. I don't have to get so offended when they do something to hurt that I feel hurt me. I'm not looking to them. They can't hurt me. I'm in God's love. He's got me. I'm in this situation to show his love to people. I can do good to the people who are hating me. And I can pray for those who spitefully use me. And I can bless those who are cursing me. Because I'm abiding in his love. If you don't abide in his love, you're going to have a hard time forgiving people, caring for people, sacrificing for others, because you're going to feel it's draining me. But when you have this rest in his love, you can relax. So you have to abide in his love. So that's just one prong of how you can maintain this perspective of looking to the Lord. Here's the second one. Abide in his word. Abide in his word. You need to know the truth. Then Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, the more that you know of God's principles and his ways, the easier it is. You're not caught off guard. You don't think it's strange. The Bible says, don't think it's strange when fiery trials come your way. Well, I do. I don't want this. This is a strange thing. Don't want this. Get rid of this. No, if you're abiding in his love and abiding in the vine, you say, God, he's put me in this situation. How does he want me to respond? How do I draw from the power of God, his presence, his power, his purpose? He's got a plan for me. How should I respond? And so you're thinking more of the other person than you're thinking of yourself. So, but you got to know the principles of God. You got to know how God thinks. It's in his word. He tells us in his word. So we can learn the ways of God just by objectively studying his word. It says it sets you free. And the truth will make you free. I tell you, you'll never feel freer when you're in the love of God and you know is truth. You not worry how people are going to confine you. Oh, they're tying me up. They're trying to squeeze me in here. They're trying to do this to me. Oh, I put up enough. Suddenly you're free. It doesn't really matter what's happening outwardly. What is matters, am I responding the way God wants me to respond? Am I his vessel in this situation? He wants to produce a fruit in me. Jesus laid down his life for us. That was his mission. And wow, man, what does it say then? And we ought to lay down our lives for others. I don't want to lay down my life. Because if I'm living from a life source, I feel that impoverishes me. But if I'm living and abiding in the Lord, hey, it doesn't matter anymore what's happening to me. It's more what's happening to them and how does God want me to respond. I mean, these are powerful truths, and I pray that what I'm saying this morning will touch you as much as it touched me as I was reading these verses. Here's the last one. Abiding in his name. We're to abide in his name. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we are to abide in his name. Abide in his love, abide in his truth, abide in his name. What does it mean, abiding in his name? Doing all in the name of Jesus. I mean, you know, you want to drive my car over to the other person's house in the name of Jesus. And you're saying, in the name of Jesus, everything you do, in the name of Jesus. That's not what it means here. It means doing it, if you're doing it in someone else's name, they've initiated it. They've empowered you to do it. It's under their auspices. All I am doing it is in their name. It's not my reputation, it's the Lord's reputation. I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. How much should you do? Everything you do in word or deed. Every word. Oh, how can it be every word? Because I'm abiding in the vine. And I'm pressing into it. As Paul said, I haven't attained yet, but I'm striving. This is what I'm pressing for, to lay hold of the thing that's laid hold of me. And so you're doing it in his name. You're doing it with his ability. You're doing it in his power. We're not doing things on our own and for our own good. We're doing it for his good. The fruit abounds to the Lord, not to me. I'm just a branch. I'm just a conduit. His sap's flowing into me and it's producing a fruit out here. The branch can't get all excited. Look at me. Look how powerful I am. No, the branch is just a branch. But stay connected. If you don't stay connected, you're like a dry branch. But you need just the life force keep flowing through your life. Okay, would you stand with me this morning? I want to end with three questions I put at the bottom of your notes. These are questions I wrote for myself. What keeps you in the presence of God? Where do you sense his presence the most? What activity brings the closeness of the Lord? I think it's different for everyone. Some people, it's when I walk in nature, I feel his presence. Others say, when I listen to music, worship, I feel his presence. Others say, I feel his presence most when I'm listening to a message and it really feeding my soul. See, we're all different. So you have to decide, if I'm going to remain in the vine, I need to find something. Well, what is the thing that really brings his presence to me? And sometimes there are unexpected things. I think I shared it with you before. We've been going through the Bible this year, and I listened to it this morning, read the scripture for this, I think day 311 or something, where we are along the way now. Doing it first thing in the morning. Wow. I found that I felt the presence of the Lord more when I'm doing that than when I read it at noon or read it in the afternoon. It wasn't that I wasn't reading the scripture. Just somehow I found when I started the day with it, man, I seem to feel his presence more all through the day. See, I don't know what it is for you, but press into how do you sense his presence? That's and abide in that and say, Lord, speak to me. That's the first question. The second question is, well, what distracts you? What pulls you away? Jesus gave a parable about the sower who sowed seed in different grounds. And one of them was that they sowed seed in thorny ground. So the seed started to come up, but the thorns started to come up. And he said the thorns choked out or distracted, took the energy and the nutrients that were to go into good soil. It got pulled off another direction. Oh, man, do you see yourself in this? Get pulled away into things. And at the end you go, you know, what worse was that? I really got pulled away, distracted into that thing. Jesus said the thorns was the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. That's what pulls us away. I get so involved with just the things of life. Busy here, busy there, busy there. The Lord gets distracted. I'm not thinking about abiding in the vine. I'm just got the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. The thinking that if I get riches, I'll be happy. It'll fulfill me. It's a deceit. Money will not bring that to you. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll add all the other things to you. Doesn't mean you don't have things. It just means that's not the first thing in your life. So Jesus just gave us, these are the things that distract us, the cares of life, deceitfulness of riches. And then finally, how can I abide better in the Lord? How do I, after reading these verses, how do I determine, this is my steps of action. I'm going to do this. I'm going to strive. I'm going to press in. I'm pressing on. I haven't laid hold of it yet, but I'm pressing on to lay hold of the thing that's laid hold of me. Oh God, help us today. Let me pray for us. If you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand and join with me. Father, I thank you for these words that was written so long ago, and yet they're so powerful today. And Lord, we read them and sometimes miss the significance of them. I pray today that you would awaken us, wake us up, Lord, to what life is really about, that we're going to stand before you, that the fruitfulness in our life is all that's going to matter. Help us not to be deceived, pulled away by so many other things. Help us to bring our focus back to you. Oh, God, help us as a church, every one of us, moment by moment, step by step, we're following your leading. We know you touch so many people, God. So many good things would happen if you could just rely on us. Lord, we want to remain in the vine. We want to be fruitful branches. Lord, so bring this word to our hearts. Each person, would you talk it into their spirit? I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said...